Good morning, everyone. It's been such a blessing to be with you this morning and to share in the Feast of the Lord. And I'd like to take you this morning to very familiar scriptures about the Great Shepherd of the Sheep in John chapter 10, to give you the word that the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. And I know that we've all been doing different things during this lockdown, and one of the things I've been doing is going out on the bike a bit. And I've discovered that whichever way you turn on the Wirral, you run into a headwind. Okay. If you go north or south, you're in the gale's mouth. East or west, you meet a tempest. Again, that's the way it is on the Wirral. Well, in the southwest corner of it anyway, where we live. So you have to be prepared to take a headwind. And I'd like to just read a few verses this morning, share with you where Jesus took a headwind and what he says to us that can help us when we are facing those kinds of situations in our life where we feel we're battling the gale and having to hunker down and really facing things maybe that we've never faced before, because we're in a situation that we've never been in before. But we have the great promise of the Lord, don't we, in Isaiah, where he says, I will bring the blind by a way they know not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. Glory to his wonderful name. So I'm going to read in John chapter 10, and we'll break in verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Wonderful words from the Lord. And we find that the headwinds he was facing here, he was speaking this wonderful word of life to those who would receive it, but there were those who wouldn't. Some said, he's off his rocker. Some said, he's got religious mania. Others said, he's demonized. And then there were those who just didn't want to listen to what he said, and they surrounded him and tried to trap him in his words and so on. And if ever a man faced headwinds, this was the Lord in the teeth of the gale, surrounded by his enemies. And you notice the wonderful way that he speaks. He doesn't answer back in the tone that they used. He doesn't revile. Being reviled, he did not revile back, but he spoke the words of absolute wonderful, sober truth. And he has some things here for you and me. And I just want to focus on one verse, and that's verse 27, where the Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." First of all, his sheep hear his voice. The Lord had said that at the beginning of the chapter. If you note in verses 3 and 4, he says the shepherd, the true shepherd, goes to the door of the sheepfold and the doorkeeper opens and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The first thing is, he calls his own sheep. If we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus, we are very specifically his own. We belong to him. By right of redemption, he shed his precious blood for us, and by right of our trust in him. But because God says, if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus and all that he's done for us, then we receive eternal life as a gift right now from the Lord. The Lord said there, towards the end of that passage I read, I give them eternal life. That's present possession. I give them, Jesus says. Well, how could a mere man say, I give them, meaning you and me, eternal life? Either he was a madman or he was God, speaking the words of truth that can reach down into our hearts and reach across the centuries, reach across the generations and reach even to you and me today. To strengthen our hearts if we know him, or to bring us to him if we have never yet really trusted in the Lord or surrendered our life to him. So what do the sheep hear? Well, the Lord says, we hear him calling our name. We hear him calling our name. I wonder if you've heard Jesus calling your name. There's a wonderful promise back in Isaiah. And we'll just go there. If you have a Bible, it's in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, right at the beginning of the chapter, where God gives one of the many promises that Isaiah pours through Isaiah through his prophetic utterances, speaking of the Messiah. Hundreds of years before he came, I was meditating this morning in Isaiah 53, that wonderful chapter, given 700 years before the Lord took our sins upon himself and the punishment and the chastisement that was due to us fell on him. Okay, so we're in Isaiah 43 now, and the Lord says this, "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel." So we are specifically created by God and for God. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." That's a wonderful thing to reflect on. God knows your name. God knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows your address. Knows full well what you're going through. Hallelujah. And his love and his power are able to reach to you and to me today, to enable us to live the life that he wants to live, the life that's pleasing to him, trusting him through the gale, trusting him to keep our steps, trusting him to bring us through victorious, because he is carrying us and he knows our name. "When you pass through the waters," this is the promise, "I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." We know that there are brethren who are walking through floods and fire, seeing they're passing through things across the world today. And the Lord is with them as they pass through those things. And you and I sometimes are called to pass through things that we haven't faced before. And the Lord promises to be with us in everything that he calls us to walk through. Because later in that same chapter, verse 6 and beginning of verse 7, he says this, "I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. So the Lord not only calls us by our name, our specific name that our parents gave us when we were born, but he writes upon us his own new name, his new best name of love, the name of Jesus. For everyone who receives Jesus as Lord. Hallelujah. That name is inscribed on our hearts. And I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands, says the Lord. Can a mother forget her child who's nursing? Yes, a mother might forget, but I will never forget you. I will never forget you. Glory to his wonderful name. So here we have the promise of his protection, the promise of a new name. And we know that Jesus loved names. You know, when he rose from the dead, he appeared to a woman and all he said was, Mary. And she knew instantly the voice of the Lord speaking to her. And in these days of lockdown, the Lord is, as Dave has said, the Lord is drawing us into a deeper and more intimate relationship with himself, maybe than we've ever known before. And he wants to speak into our depths the wonders of his name and to tell us that he knows our name too and that we're important to him. Back in John chapter 10, he said, I know them. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. He knew his disciples. He spent the night in prayer before he called the 12, but he knew them. He knew the kind of men they were. I mean, when his first time that Peter was introduced to him by his brother, he said, oh, okay, you're Simon. Simon is a reed. You know, a reed is something that blows this way and that way in the wind. Your name is going to be Cephas. That means a rock. I'm going to change you, Simon, from a reed into a rock, and you're going to be called Peter. And that was the name that eventually Peter was known by. God is able to do that by his transforming power. I know them, Jesus said. It's a two-way thing. God knows us and we can know him. Verse 14 in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. This is a wonderful two-way relationship that's ongoing between us and the Lord. He knows us and he brings us into that relationship when the gospel is revealed to us that we are sinners and that Jesus shed his precious blood for us. And if we open our hearts to him and just simply surrender our life to him and invite him to come in and take over, he, the living Christ, will do just that the moment we ask him. Glory to his wonderful name. And then begins a relationship which is two-way. And God moves in us and for us, and he begins his work in us. If we go to Philippians for a moment, Philippians chapter 2, again, well-known verses. Paul says this in verse 12 and verse 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence and in the absence of being able to meet together, in the absence of all that's been normal in church life, in the absence of everything you've known, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, for his good pleasure. It's the wonder of it, isn't it? God works in us so that we will desire the things that he wants us to do and desire to live the way that he wants us to live. Glory to his name. And over in chapter 3, we find Paul writing some very personal stuff at the beginning of the chapter. And he talks about his racial status, talks about his education theologically, which was superlative. He talks about things that he did in terms of keeping the law. and so on and so forth, and something of what he did in persecution too of Christians. But then he says, I count all these things loss. Well, that's the actual word is skubalon, which means the stuff that even the dogs refuse. And if you've ever lived in Asia or part of the world where dogs are not lovely pets like dogs we know here, you'll know that the dogs don't refuse anything that's available to eat. But Paul said, everything I ever had, to me, I count it absolute refuse. For what? For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For the excellence of that knowledge, for knowing Jesus, that's the most wonderful thing that can happen to a man or woman or a boy or girl in the whole of life, is that you come to know Jesus. And then that journey begins where we begin to know, and then he takes us on and on and on into so much more. Glory to his name. And then Paul comes out with this kind of exclamation in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know the resurrected Christ. I want to know him in my life. And the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know what it meant for him to suffer for me. I can never know those sufferings that he went through on the cross, but I can join in fellowship with him where I sense his heart towards me and towards millions of others who have not yet known him. Being conformed to his death. We can know him. I know them, Jesus said, and we can know him. That is the headwind we always face. It's the point at which the enemy makes his severest attack. It's the point at which he is always aiming, is to sever that intimate relationship between you and me, between us and Christ. He's always having a go right there. And Jesus says, I'm with you. When you walk through the headwinds, when you go through the floods, when you go through the fire, I am with you. Don't be afraid. I was watching a program last night about men who were looking for mammoth tusks in Siberia. Now, there's a job if ever there was a different one. if you want a job for pointless or something, an answer for pointless, looking for mammoth tusks in Siberia. But one of the men said in translation, if you seek for them with all your heart, you will find them. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Jesus says the same. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And we can continue to seek the Lord day by day as we walk with him through this strange time that we're going through now and into whatever the future will look like, where he already is waiting for us to get there. Remember Captain Scott, he went all out to reach the South Pole. And now his epitaph reads, he sought the secrets of the pole. Now he sees the secrets of God. The wonderful thing is, if we know God in our life, we can know some of his secrets too, that he chooses to reveal to us here and now as we walk with him. And Jesus said this too, and they follow me. Follow me means walk the same road. They walk the same road that I am walking. Peter said, we are called to walk his steps. We are called to walk his steps, to follow him closely, to pray to him, to cry to him for help when we need it. Like a woman who she knew nothing except she could cry to Jesus for help, and he answered her cry. I want to read a poem to end with, and it's a well-known poem to many of you. I'll just read it, and it's a poem about headwinds by Amy Carmichael, who knew quite a lot about that. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee. From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings, not thus are spirits fortified, not this way when the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire, Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, O flame of God. Let's make that our prayer in these days, that we won't slacken off, but we will continue to walk the same road, to listen for the Master's voice, and to get to know him better than we've ever known him as we go through this time. In his precious name, amen.